Hello and welcome to Mad Tower Radio, Episode 3, broadcasting to you live from Tango Foxtrot, 4243-3261. Today I'd just like to congratulate our friend, Mr. Shadow in the Void, coming into reign in the Andromeda Galaxy, because the stars have aligned. He's a good guy, I'm happy for him. But other than that, Christian and I have some hot new truth for you. Tell him about it, Christian.
Well, before we get into our two new stories today, I'd also like to announce the inclusion of a new intern on the show, whose job it is to stand by at the crystals, taking any intermission or any message from the Mantis Men.
Yes, I was very excited to bring on the Crystal Monitor. I think it's going to be great when we finally start getting some transmissions from the Mantis Men. I'm very excited.
But until that day, we've got a couple new stories to tell. Now, I've elected to go first. This week, I am taking on the cryptid story. It is the Black Beast of Chernobyl. What do you have for us?
Oh, I have the illustrious Project Bluebeam, which is going to be crazy.
When I'm researching these things, and I'm sure it happens to you too, it's the titles that really draw me in, and that's the thing I'm going to focus on for the week. So,
yes,
yours very much caught my eye.
So here's an interesting thing about this one. Just real quick before you get into the Black Beast, so I started looking up Project Bluebeam, and a bunch of things came up for like construction and other companies and VR and stuff, and got me thinking, like, are they like repurposing the name to throw people off of the conspiracy?
Yeah, like flooding the internet with similar titles so it's hard to comb through.
Oh yes,
that makes sense.
But please, I've been waiting to hear about the Black Beast of Chernobyl all week, so let's get into it.
Okay, so how familiar are you with the Chernobyl disaster?
I'm kind of familiar, but a refresher would not be bad at all.
Okay, so it's the lovely, ideal time. It's the 1980s, and in the Ukrainian portion of the Union of Socialist Soviet Republics, there's this nuclear reactor. And on April 26th, 1986, late into the night, there's a sort of explosion inside the reactor. It causes a couple of fires and turns into this full-scale disaster, a nuclear meltdown. And it releases huge amounts of nuclear waste and smog into the air, and it, you know, travels all across Europe. It turns the site, Pripyat, Ukraine, into this, still today, amazing, toxic hell.
Yeah. Okay, so not too long ago, I was actually reading about the elephant's foot. Do you know what that is?
What was that?
I was reading about the elephant's foot. Do you know what that is?
The elephant's foot? Is that something in the site?
Yeah, so down in, like, the basement, one of the rooms, I don't know, but the pipe that actually went to the reactor busted, and all of the corium started spilling out. You know what corium is? Yeah, and then it just, like, started pooling on the ground, and...
I've seen that image before. I've seen
the foot. Yeah, it's horrifying. Like, I don't know what's so, like, I don't know why it's scary, because it just looks like a rock, but it is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, have you heard of the claw?
No, what is the claw?
The claw is the most deadly object still at the plant today.
Really?
It's the industrial claw that they use to clean out and dig out the waste from the disaster site.
Yeah. And
because it was in such close contact, it's like lethal to touch this thing.
That's insane.
Absolutely. Like, if you have the chance, anyone who can do any bit of research into the Chernobyl site, it is beautiful and fascinating and completely horrifying.
Honestly.
That brings me to our Black Beast of Chernobyl.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
So there's this man, his name is Robert Maxwell. He's an Australian archaeologist, I guess you would say, but he's like a nuclear archaeologist. He's talking about what our artifacts are going to be, what are we going to leave from our nuclear era.
Uh-huh.
So he had taken an interest into Chernobyl, obviously, so he's been to the site a couple of times. And for the first time here on the Mad Tower Radio, his resources are online and not behind a paywall.
Oh, so you can read some of his reports. Thank you, my friend. Robert Maxwell, you're a real one, dude. Science. Thank you so much.
So he talks, sort of learns about the history, goes to the site, and he kept hearing this report that workers on the site the day before, the weeks leading up to, and the day of the disaster found this beast.
They found it?
They had sighted it. They had seen it.
Uh-huh.
So on contamination day, as the smoke is pouring out into the sky and filling, sort of blotting out the sun, there's about 5 people who say they saw this 20-foot massive headless winged creature with fiery black eyes sort of swirling inside the nuclear smog.
What the hell?
Yeah.
20 foot, no head. So like sunken heads, like a sunken in head, like the Mothman?
Exactly. But that's sort of the connection here, is people are absolutely calling this like a European Mothman sighting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because the employees were saying that they were having terrible nightmares leading up to the day of the Chernobyl disaster. They were getting these weird phone calls that didn't make sense, and they were seeing this creature before the disaster. And on the day of the explosion, they saw it one last time going through the mist and fog, and then it was never seen in that site again.
That's so fucking cool, honestly. So when you told me Black Beast of Chernobyl, I pictured like a Deathclaw from Fallout.
Oh, like something like post-irradiated, like something that's there now.
Yeah, like something, yeah. I was thinking like people just saw this like giant beast lurking in the fall, like in the Chernobyl site afterwards.
Oh, no. Deer and wolves and shit, they don't give a damn about Chernobyl. Like, the wildlife is doing great.
Yeah, that's what I read that recently too, is that like wildlife is popping out in Chernobyl.
But I brought this one up because the idea of this like multi-continental creature, this event that's happening everywhere, this connection to the Mothman, I particularly enjoyed because I know you have a certain love for the beast.
I do. The Mothman is my favorite urban legend, cryptid, whatever you want to call it. He looks cool. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so the description of the beast is a one-to-one with the Mothman, like this massive headless creature with the eyes burning red right in the centerpiece.
Yeah.
Chest.
No.
Yeah.
So the thing that like sticks out to me is like 20 feet. Like, this thing is huge.
Oh, yeah. The stories tell of it being massive. And the hard part about gathering sources now or being able to hear more clear eyewitness accounts, because Robert's data is, I believe, secondhand. It's stories that were told. It was rumors that were told. But all the people who were there didn't exactly make it out of the disaster and can't really talk about it today.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because it was all workers who were there at the meltdown, like at the plant.
Now, I'd be interested to hear more about like the phone calls.
Yeah, he couldn't really speak much about the phone calls, but they said they would hear weird, frightening phone calls, things that made them feel tense, and they couldn't sleep and they couldn't sort of get comfortable leading up to the disaster.
That's actually pretty weird.
Some people try to refute it as, oh, it was a black stork. It's a native bird in the area. It's pretty big, but it's not a 20-foot beast.
It's not a 20-foot beast, and why would it be flying through nuclear smog?
Mm-hmm. That's also the thing. Like,
that's
that image, that like thought of like looking up into the burning sky. Like, I don't know if you've seen the Chernobyl show on HBO.
No, I haven't, but I've been wanting to because I heard it's real good.
It's amazing. But the sort of the idea of, I'm picturing a shot from that, and they look up and this sort of like, almost like a rock or like a thunderbird, like flying through the clouds and smoke.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That's crazy. So, and, how exactly did the fucking meltdown happen? Was it like worker error?
I believe it had something to do with the Soviet policy of being trash at most safety regulations.
Well, you're not wrong. Because that gets me thinking, like, maybe these unsettling phone calls that the Mothman left so that the workers couldn't get to sleep maybe inadvertently caused the meltdown.
Yeah, like the stress, the no, that totally makes sense. I believe it was like an overheating problem. Like, they couldn't contain the energy properly, or there was a gap in their heating system that caused it to overheat, melt down, and explode.
Oh, really? That's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Chernobyl is such an interesting topic that it could get its like own episode, and it's just a completely documented event.
Yeah, it's one of the things we know the most about, but it's still one of the most fascinating sort of stories to dig into that are sort of related to these subjects.
It is. Now, that has me excited. What was the plant that went down in Japan recently?
Oh, Fukushima.
Fukushima?
Yeah, the Fukushima disaster.
So they, I was reading about that one recently, and they are still looking for the corium.
Oh no, there's going to be another elephant's foot.
I know, and I'm like biting my nails waiting for them to find it, because I can't wait for another cursed image like that.
And wouldn't you know, the night before we record this episode about this Mothman creature, your boy,
mm-hmm.
The most wonderful like trio of nightmares.
Oh, did you have some? Did the Mothman visit you in your dreams?
I think the Mothman's got my number.
Oh, please do tell.
It's such an interesting creature. Like, the fact that people are so personally affected by the beast. Like, it's not like a monster that's going to eat you. It's not like a creature that abducts you like an alien. The Mothman and the Black Beast of Chernobyl is like this psychological monster. Like, you see it and it affects you almost in like a Lovecraftian kind of way.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Like, there's never any reports of the Mothman like flying up and beating the shit out of you or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you just see it and weird shit happens.
And your life's ruined. You have nightmares. You can't, like, calm down. And then there's the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I've only driven through West Virginia once, but I kept my eyes peeled.
Yeah?
I'm not going to let that dude sneak up on me.
Oh. We got to make a trip out to Point Pleasant someday.
Oh, that's 100% in the books. It's a national cryptid tour.
And we will make sure to document it in some way for the show.
Absolutely.
Because Christian and I were talking about this behind the scenes, and just a quick little side note, once quarantine lifts and this virus is out of the way, I'm planning to go check out some Louisiana ghost sites and see if I can find anything good.
Are there any particular, like, are you following ghosts specifically, or are you just looking for all matter of supernatural fun?
All matter of supernatural fun in the Louisiana area.
Hell yeah.
Yes, because I have already been to the five biggest cities in Louisiana, and when I found this out, I was like, oh, that's it? So there's plenty of backwoods and backwater to explore down here.
Now, and it sort of relates to the Mothman and the sort of disaster. How much do you feel any apprehension towards sort of playing with fire, poking out these events and these sort of sightings for yourself?
Oh, so that was one of my mom's biggest warnings as a kid. She was like, no. She was like, you can antagonize this stuff. You can, like, that stuff will follow you home. And I'm like, what do you mean? And now that I'm older and kind of on the verge of delving into, like, exploring this stuff, like, I definitely hear her in the back of my mind sometimes when I'm like, let's go check out this haunted place, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah.
Let me tell you, that only makes me want to do it more. Are you telling me if I push, the ghosts are going to push back? Like, that sounds fantastic.
Well, you see, like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to follow you home. That's cheating. But it still creeps me out. Like, the way my mom said it, she was like, it almost sounded like you're making your presence known as to you're interested in it.
Oh, much like our diplomatic channels to the Mantis universe, yeah. For sure.
Like our diplomatic channels to the Mantis men. Like, hey, I'm here. Show me what you got. I guess. But I don't know. I think we might be getting a little off topic, though. Is there much more to go on with the Mothman? Or no, with the Black Beast? Or can we keep going with this?
That was pretty much my story. Is mostly the amazing imagery I wanted to put into your heads of a 20-foot headless bird beast flowing through the Chernobyl smoke.
That's pretty good. I like this. I like the whole, like, cryptid under a different, like, it has a different name in different parts of the world, you know?
Yeah, people can interpret and see this in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty local, too. Like, I like finding these small, like, local things that ties back into something like the Mothman, which is, like, one of the biggest cryptids ever.
Yeah, like, every person, every small town, I think you've said this before, but every village, every town's got its own special beast or something that makes it special, and finding those really interesting and unique local stories is a real treat.
No, that Black Beast of Chernobyl, that's a win in my book.
So what truth do you have to reveal to me today?
Oh, Project Bluebeam, let me pull up my notes here really quick. So let me give you the quick rundown. A one sentence goal of Project Bluebeam: NASA will use holographic technology to bring in a New World Order religion headed by the Antichrist by simulating the Second Coming.
What?
Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel, just based off that one sentence summary?
It seems like a lot of work. Like, where are they mounting all these projectors to simulate the Second Coming? What is NASA's mode to make this happen?
I don't know. There's not much on the technology because I imagine it's classified. In fact, I know it's classified.
For sure.
But let me just give you the quick rundown here. So, a Mr. Sergei Monast from Canada published the book Project Bluebeam in 1994, so I wasn't going to pay for the truth. Now here's a little interesting thing about his life. He homeschooled his children, and they were taken away in 1996 and made wards of the state so they could receive a proper education. Sergei was arrested in December 1996. and he claimed this arrest was so that he could not continue his investigations into Project Bluebeam. And then after spending only one night in jail, he died of a heart attack.
Come on.
I know. His followers believe he was assassinated with psychotronic weapons.
Now, I'm not going to really bust out the they shot him with the mind beam, but I can absolutely feel he was put down.
Really?
I think that it's... I hate these convenient deaths in prison. You see, it's like especially 60s, 70s, 80s. Governments didn't give a damn. Mid-Cold War.
But this was 96.
Nah. Cold War never ended, my dude.
Fair enough.
We're still in it. People don't... Governments don't give a damn. They'll put you down.
They really don't.
So he... Do you think he was birthing a new generation of Bluebeam truthers in his children?
Maybe. Or maybe it was a convenient excuse. I don't know the laws, and I don't know the fine print on homeschooling in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know how old his kids were. I don't know how long they'd been getting homeschooled. But just out of nowhere, they're grabbed up by the state, and then they arrest his dad. And he dies in jail after one night.
Pretty damning for Big Maple.
Of a heart attack? That's the most convenient thing ever. Because they can just be like, well, body fail.
Heart stopped. Sorry, dudes.
Yep. Conspiracy go up, body go down. But I don't know what the hell a psychotronic weapon is.
Yeah, I was... If you had to guess... If the Canadian government was using psychotronic weaponry, what does that sound like to you?
I don't know. I don't know, honestly. Tronic? That makes me think like... I don't know. For some reason, that word just makes me think of like spinning.
Okay.
So maybe they like shot him with this beam that just made his brain spin around in his head. I don't know.
It makes me think of in the 60s when the United States government would abduct people and do mind control experiments on them with LSD.
Ooh.
Little teaser for next week.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Like some MK Ultra stuff? Or?
Yeah, straight up mind beaming.
Hell yes. I was going to do MK Ultra if you didn't.
So, he said NASA is trying to simulate the second coming so that people think they're in the end times for a new world order.
Now, get ready for this. So, that was a misspeak. NASA is just being tasked with the technological part of it. The true benefactor here is the United Nations.
Hmm.
Now, here's the steps. Here's a play-by-play. Of how it's going to go down. Right? There will be simulated archaeological findings to prove all world religions wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong. I don't know what they mean by wrong.
Okay, so they're going to disprove there's a part- religion.
Okay, so just sit tight because I want to... There's something I want to comment on at the end of this, so...
Okay.
Save your questions for the end because this one gets crazy. There will be propaganda films and pop culture such as E.T. or Star Wars to plant the seed of the idea of a space invasion. And supposedly Jurassic Park was created to push the theory of evolution. Now, that's step one. Step one is getting into their head, right? You with me here?
Yeah, you've got my attention. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Alright, I just didn't want to have another interference by a Mantis Man transmission. Alright, next. That's the only pre-event that they're going to do. Now this is the actual, like, get ready to go. NASA is going to use their holograms to beam a projection around the whole world, multiple projections, of whatever god is the most prominent in the area.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Okay. So there's going to be multiple gods all over the place. Jesus Christ in Europe and America, and then, like, Allah in the Middle East, and, like, you know, the dominant religion of the region. They're going to project that god into the sky. The god will speak all languages. And at the end, the holograms will converge into one god.
Oh, no. Oh.
Now, this is where it gets a little wacky, right? NASA is going to use low-frequency telepathic satellites to communicate telepathically with everyone simultaneously to further the illusion that God is talking to their souls.
Okay, you're going to hear it in your mind. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. And then once it converges into the one God, right, they're also going to use their holograms to simulate giant alien ships landing on Earth. And the God is going to tell them that the only way to save themselves from this alien invasion is to, one, blast the Earth into nuclear hell so they can kill the aliens, and conform to the new religion of this one god.
Okay.
So that the world will be in ruins from just a nuclear fake-out, and everyone will convert en masse to this new religion because they saw their god be like, yo, I'm actually here. How's that make you feel?
You know, if I was living in a world where I look out to the sky and see some mythical deity, like, projected onto the atmosphere, it's going to be pretty hard to refute. I think if NASA can make Bluebeam happen, that's a pretty convincing argument.
I mean, obviously you and I won't fall for it because we're here with the Project Bluebeam information, you know.
Even so.
Now, obviously I don't think this one has very much going for it. But what's interesting to me is how vague it is. So, simulated archaeological findings. Like, it was crazy for me to be like, because he didn't really say what they were going to simulate, you know? So, how do we know that Bluebeam isn't already in action? You know what I mean?
Are you talking about, like, these damn kids and their feathered dinosaurs and shit?
Maybe. I don't know. Because, like, he doesn't really outline how long Bluebeam's been going on. You know?
It's interesting to think step one is to make people believe all the religions are fake, and then step two is actually JK God's right here.
The new god, yep.
Oh, isn't it? It's like the Mighty Morphin God, the Voltron God.
Yeah, they're bringing in a new world order. I don't really know where the Antichrist comes in. I couldn't find any Antichrist in my research, you know?
Okay, and the need to sort of wipe the slate clean with the you know, nuclear fake-out, which I really liked that phrase.
Yeah.
At that point, even if people aren't exactly believing in the Ultra God, nuclear fallouts or nuclear hell is going to make it easier to just sort of assert authority over whatever environment you're in anyway. So it seems like it's got like a backup plan.
Exactly, because I'm sure once they launch this plan, All of the NATO higher-ups are going to have been funding, like, fallout shelters and just underground, like, cities, I guess, in... And they'll be like, hey, y'all can come in as long as you believe in the new religion and never question NATO and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I was... joking in the beginning when I asked how are they going to project all of this stuff over the world, but then you said their actual plan is to project all of this, sort of make it appear as if alien ships are landing on the planet and all this.
Yes. So originally Bluebeam was supposed to pop off in 98, according to Sergei's research.
Mm.
And that went and passed, and his followers were like, actually, it's going to be 2000. Actually, it's going to be this. Actually, it's going to be that, right? And now they're theorizing that they're biding their time and making even more, like, technological advancements to make Bluebeam that much more convincing. Now, I've seen Sergei's followers cite deepfake technology as being used in Project Bluebeam. 5G.
Oh no.
5G, something about beaming it into your brain. Recently, a couple years ago, the US government released all their reports on UFOs and UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. And stuff like the USS Nimitz story. So, it's crazy to see, like, these, like, pieces, I guess, coming into play. Like, oh, they're going to use the holograms to simulate an alien invasion. The US government is releasing all their alien invasion files. Or, not alien invasion, but, like, all UFO sighting files and stuff.
Yeah, related topics.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy.
It seems like a fool's errand to conduct Project Bluebeam in the late 90s. Like, Bill Clinton's not going to fall for that. He's got lizard, like, immunities. It wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was probably in on it.
Who's to say? He's not still.
That's also true.
And the idea of them holding on, waiting for technology to advance is pretty interesting, because the internet begins to take its stride right about that time.
Yeah.
We see this jump in our culture, this very technology... I can't tell you how the phone works. I don't know how magic and data flies through the air.
You don't know what 5G is beaming into your brain.
I truly don't. But the idea that there's this way to, like, telepathically speak to you, I love that.
Like pseudo-telepathy?
Yeah, like they can beam things into your brain so that you hear this god talking to you. I love that part of the story.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to see a little more science behind it, but it just says they're going to use low frequencies. I don't know what that means. I don't know anything about frequency. Well, I don't know anything about the technological side of frequency, but I don't know. I think the deepfake technology is particularly interesting.
Deepfake technology.
Are you familiar?
Like how the iPhone went from 10 to 20, or the like that?
No, my friend. The deepfake technology where you can make highly convincing... faked, like, videos and stuff of people talking.
Oh, for sure. I saw a terrifying, completely fake video of Barack Obama giving a speech, and at the end of the video, they're like, this didn't happen. He didn't say any of this stuff. Our computers built this. I was like, oh.
It's scary. Man.
We're in it.
They're also making advancements in, like, voice technology where, like, it only has to hear, like, maybe 100 words from the speaker, before it can like completely simulate their voice.
That's what it did. The AI took his like samples and then they could just create his voice.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
No, I mean, we're living in that world today. That's not a theory. That's just a fact, listeners.
We are. And it's coming. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not already being used in like covert ops and stuff like that.
When you talked about the low frequency things, it makes me think of those military sound cannons to break up riots. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't. What is that?
There's this sort of like new anti-mob, anti-riot technology I'm seeing like militaries bring out, and it just looks like a truck with a really small antenna at it, and they shoot like sound waves at them.
What the fuck?
To disrupt them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so the tech's here. I think Bluebeam could happen on the drop of a hat.
I think it could. I mean, like, as far-fetched as this sounds, like, it could happen. Especially considering that hologram technology is not very far off in use. In 1990, a senior Air Force officer suggested projecting a holographic image of Allah over Baghdad and having said holographic image of Allah convince the people to rise up against Saddam Hussein.
That is the most United States military thing I could ever think of. That's insane.
I don't know what to say to that.
You know, if the technology existed for these, like, large-scale, good, convincing holograms, I would have thought that, like, Pepsi-Cola would be projecting Pepsi-Man into the sky, or some other corporations would have already been using it. Like, the being able to project things on the moon-type technology.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's like the internet, you know? For the longest time, it was just for military use, and then eventually they were like, oh, well, hey guys, look at this cool thing we made. Everyone can use it.
We can use it, yeah.
And now we're on the internet. So maybe after Project Bluebeam, they'll be like, oh, hey, Coca-Cola, you want to beam your logo into the sky?
In the New World Order. The New World Coke.
Yeah, in the New World Order.
The only thing I can hope is that when the blue beams fire, I'm somewhere cool and some like less popular deity ends up on the sky. Like I'm somewhere where like some pagan village.
You're in Greenland and you just see like Thor beamed into the sky.
That's what I want.
But it's not any sort of traditional sense of Thor, it's just Chris Hemsworth.
The ritual beast in northern Sweden.
Jesus. The Wendigo.
Jesus Christ.
If you're in Cherokee Nation.
I don't talk about North American cryptids. They know too much.
We're gonna get you to open up about your cryptids.
I don't know about that one.
Now, there is an image that I have to send you. Okay. So in 2009, this is called the Norwegian Spiral Incident.
Oh.
Yep.
I already love it. What's going down in Norway?
So this appeared in the sky in Norway in 2009. Right?
Okay.
And they didn't know what the fuck to think of it. And there were, like, so many theories on what it could have been, a meteor, a comet, something, right? And so after them not being able to find out what it was, eventually Russia didn't admit it, but suggested it could have been a failed missile test.
Cursed spiral missile? Like, what's happening in the sky?
I don't know, but it's a very ominous image, isn't it?
That sure looks like a projection.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. They could just be shining a spotlight on it, maybe.
And, like, the clouds are doing something to give you that spiral effect?
Maybe. But that just has me thinking that, like, if that's the projectors they're going to use, I don't think anybody's going to fall for it when they can just follow that beam right down to the source, because that definitely just looks like it's being fucking projected into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So maybe that's why they haven't launched it yet. They haven't perfected the technology.
Now you're going to get me, like, going to the movie theater trying to find the beam on the projector. I'm not going to trust any projector I see anymore.
Exactly. Now, I like this one. I like this conspiracy. I thought it was crazy. Because, like, there's just so much where you have to, like, you have to do, like, a double take in your head. Like, because he just claims so much crazy shit.
It's pretty well, incremented. There's lots of good steps in detail. Like, how we're going to get there.
Yeah. Like, the propaganda films.
Yeah, what's up with, why is Jurassic Park in on the, to teach me about evolution?
I don't know. Is evolution the fake? Like, is evolution what they're faking? Because it says that this new world religion will be headed by the Antichrist. So obviously there, it's like, you know, the Christian Antichrist. I don't think there's any others, but I don't know. This one's just very, very weird. Like I said, he claims a lot of stuff where you got to do like a double take. You know?
This is one of the rare theories where we still have direct witnesses. You know, his kids are out there.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
We've got Bluebeam successors. We've got people who knew this man still living around.
Her dad was probably like, they were like, can we go outside and play? And they're like, no. They're going to beam you with the holograms.
Yeah. If you go outside and you see Kermit the Frog looking up at the sky, do not look, kids. Like, just, I can't imagine living with this guy.
Those kids probably just wanted the normal life. If I'm being honest with you.
No, you said he's gotten a number of supporters or people who believe in this theory. Are they, like, congregating? Are they still talking and trying to piece this together?
Yes. They don't have an official name. They don't have an official group. But go on YouTube and type in Project Bluebeam. And if you sort through it, like, if you filter past the first maybe 20 results, you're gonna find some wild shit.
Hey, Bluebeamers. Yeah. You're listening? Tell me what's up. Send me an email.
Yes, and I'd like to say that anybody with any cryptid story or experience, feel free to email us and tell us your story, please. And drop a comment. We'll share it on the show. But, yeah, you find some crazy stuff once you scroll far enough into the Project Bluebeam search results on YouTube. There's, like, one video that's by, like, a semi-popular channel of them explaining it, and then the rest is just, like, low-res footage from the 90s of people talking at, like, seminars about the Cold War and NASA, and then, like, really, really, really bad images or videos of, like, obviously someone made this in a video editor and, like, it's like something being projected into the sky. Do you remember that video I put that I sent you the other day of, like, the coronavirus snake, and it's just like a giant cobra
in the sky attacking that city? Yeah
it's just like full of stuff like that, and it's hilarious.
But nothing to convince you? Any of those, anything that made you sort of turn your head?
Nope.
Damn it.
I know. I don't know about this one. It's too out there. I don't know. I'm not convinced.
I mean, what does it take to get you to believe in something? What sort of turns your heart to a theory?
I don't know. Okay, so I don't want to say, like, no, this one's a crock of shit, throw it out the window. But I don't. There's not enough there yet to convince me. It's definitely interesting enough for me to keep following. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited for the Blue Beamer updates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's enough there for me right now to be like, yeah, I'm sold. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. No, it definitely, from what you were sharing, seems like there's some holes. It's got a ways to go. It's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress. But I think Mr. Sergei Monast's death is really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about his health. Maybe he did have a heart attack.
But if you're afraid of information, if you're afraid of truth going out, the worst thing you can do is give it power. Like, to fear it enough to take that kind of bold action against it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Because, like, if you just axe him, everyone's going to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know?
The safest thing is to let the madman scream on the street corner.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, because people are just going to be like, oh, he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you kill him, people are going to be like, why'd he die randomly?
Yeah, you give that story that power.
Exactly. It's crazy. You know? So Project Bluebeam, I don't know. Are you a believer?
I really do not think that NASA's going to project all these gods, morph them into Voltron, and then project the alien invasion. But more importantly, I think the technology is there. Like, the option for you to want to. And isn't that just as crazy as the story?
It could happen.
Like,
yeah.
If you wanted something similarly world-shatteringly crazy, I believe if someone had enough desire, we could find ourselves with something crazy like that happening.
Yeah, you think so?
And that's all the better. Well, it kind of makes me think. Do you think the Ruskies could have projected the Black Beast of Chernobyl into those smoke clouds?
Not at that time.
It wasn't us. We didn't have a manufacturing meltdown. Our plant was 100% safe. It was the beast. It was the creature.
True. Beaming a scapegoat.
That's pretty convenient.
I did want to return to the Black Beast and Mothman, though.
Okay.
Because have you ever looked at the amount of Mothman sightings in Chicago?
Yeah. I've seen the huge sort of following that it has in that city.
There are a bunch, hundreds, from like all mostly along the coast of Lake Michigan, from Chicago all the way up to Milwaukee.
See, this is secretly why I wanted to bring up the Mothman creature. I knew you'd have something for me.
I always got my eyes peeled for the Mothman. Mm-hmm. I always got my eyes peeled for the Mothman.
So are these contemporary sightings? Like, are they still happening today, or was there like a period of time?
Say again?
Are these happening like now, or is it like in a specific period of time?
No, they're still going.
Okay.
Let me pull up the map real quick. Hold on.
Oh no. The bean's gonna slide off its hinges.
Oh yeah. Mothman sightings, Chicago. Where's the case map? Chicago Mothman sightings map. There we go.
This kind of lends it to what we were talking about earlier. Like, if you are believing in this, and Mothman being one of the more prevalent, more popular stories, you're going to create that sighting for yourself, or you're going to want to see that more.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's something that could be happening in Chicago?
Maybe. I think so. It's definitely like, if you want to see it, eventually you'll see it. Their self-fulfilling prophecies are real, and that's why I always try to have, like, that's why I always try to come into this with, like, a skeptic's mindset, because I feel like if I keep a skeptic's mindset, when and if I do see something, I think I'll be pretty convinced that it was real and not just a self-fulfilling prophecy, if that makes sense.
I usually start from a side of disbelief and allowing these things to sway me. I don't really want to put myself at the mercy of the story or the mercy of the creature. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm going to send you the case map of... Okay. Mothman sightings in Chicago. Now, this map is interactable, which is really cool.
Okay, what's going on in this, like, lake side?
Dude, it's all up in Chicago.
If I were a sentient devil beast, why would I be in the big city? What do I have to get there?
Well, that brings us to the Mothman prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, Mothman's first sighting, and I feel like a fucking maniac just knowing this off the top of my head. But in Mothman's first sighting in Point Pleasant, right, he was sighted a couple times, and then after he was sighted, a bridge in Point Pleasant blew up. Not blew up, but it collapsed and killed a bunch of people. So ever since then, the Mothman has been associated with being a prophecy for destruction.
And that fits perfectly with the Black Beast.
And that does fit perfectly with the Black Beast, right? People were seeing this monster in their head. People were seeing this fucking, like, just... Black Beast a couple days before the fucking meltdown.
The disaster, okay.
You know?
Well, it seems like Mothman's coming a little late this time. Like, he's taking his sweet freaking time with the disaster.
I know. Now, it's crazy because you and I are both from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these sightings are incredibly local.
Yeah, I was just looking at the map, and there's one within, like, minutes.
Yeah.
Of our home.
Within driving distance.
Absolutely. Oh, no. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night.
Yeah?
Maybe I've got Mothman sickness.
Mothman's such a cool, like, phenomenon. Because it's seen everywhere.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, like, the globe-trotting aspect of it.
Yeah.
Making it more of, like, less of a physical creature and more of an entity, more of a almost, like, spiritual event.
Yeah.
Like Mothman doesn't have to fly to the Ukraine. He doesn't have to walk to Chicago. It appears as an omen for what's to come. far, like, beyond, like, these physical means.
It is very cool. Now, I don't know why he's taking his sweet time in Chicago, because this site map is from 2017 to 2020. So this is 3 years of Mothman sightings, and that is plenty. Now, I don't know what he's trying to... signal, because there's a shit ton of sightings in Chicago proper.
But it goes up to Milwaukee, it goes out, like, deep into, like...
It goes as far north as Milwaukee and as far south as Indianapolis.
That, to me, sounds like a lake disaster.
Oh, you think... What do you define lake disaster? What do you mean?
Like, something's gonna happen to the lake, whether it be a flood or some kind of, like, crazy, all-encompassing thing that affects all these locations.
Well, I mean, maybe a nuke.
Mm.
Maybe that's where they're going to shoot the first one, because, you know, Mothman's prophesied a nuclear disaster before, over in Chernobyl.
Or, I know Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes are where the Navy does its tests, runs its exercises.
Ooh, there you go.
So something like that.
Yeah, there is a naval base on Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, check out this cool nuclear sub. Uh-oh, Hell Lake.
Uh-oh, Hell Lake. Yeah. No, that's interesting. Yep, Naval Station Great Lakes. Very, pretty far north of all the sightings. But still... Now that's an interesting map. I will put a link to the map in the description if y'all want to check it out for yourselves. And I very highly suggest that, because this is a very cool map. I like that it's interactable too.
Yeah, I'm reading some of these individual sightings right now, and there's some pretty detailed responses.
I saw one while I was in the middle of talking, but it was like the Black Winged Demon of O'Hare Airport.
Oh, no.
Crown Man hovering over high rise. What? Oh, yeah, this is
great. I found the demon, the Black Demon. Okay, team. If you're listening to this, I want you to find me your favorite Mothman sighting. Drop it in the comment.
Amazing. I did not know there were this many sightings in Chicago alone.
Well, there goes the next 6 hours of my quarantine life. I'm going to be digging into all of these sightings.
Oh, man.
Perfect.
Good times with the Mothman. So it's crazy to think that back when we were in high school and fresh out of high school that we would just hop in the car and drive around and just look for weird stuff.
Try to find anything.
You know? And it's crazy to think that, like, some of these sightings are within throwing distance of where we threw up, or where we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little disappointed that we didn't see anything.
I'm extremely disappointed how long I've gone without anything crazy.
I know.
And I've had a good number of people I know personally have some kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
But damn it, where's my haunting?
I don't want a haunting. That sounds horrifying, but I would like to see a monster of some sort.
Some kind of amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. I think we got some time ahead of us before we can start being like, well, I guess we don't get to see anything crazy in our life.
No, I
because
don't.
You know, I think we just gotta look more. I'm taking this to the physical world. I'm gonna go hunting when this quarantine lifts?
Let me tell you, if I drive through all 48 of the continental United States and I don't see one demon, beast, one creature, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like some dude in the backwoods put a squirrel in a jar and he found an alien.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good episode. Say squirrel in a jar. But like faked cryptids.
Oh, like these hoaxes, yeah.
Yeah, like ones that are like came out and it was proven that it was fake, either like the guy admitted it.
Yeah. No, that I think that'd be a good avenue to pursue.
Or we should fake our own.
Shh. Can't tell them now.
Oh.
Oh no. I'm looking at it right now. There's one right by the water parks we used to play. Oh, God. No. Okay,
what water park? Where?
With this dark, forbidden knowledge, me and Dan are going to dig into the Mothman sightings, but we've got the road ahead of us. We have a couple more steps to take up the Mad Tower, and we thank you for coming along with us.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Have a good day. And yeah, keep your eyes wide open. I encourage you to go do some cryptid hunting, ghost hunting, conspiracy digging of your own, and report your findings.
Yeah, stay curious, friends.
Thank you, and goodbye. This is the Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.